This is HPR episode 2361 entitled, Information Underground, Working Out. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 41 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Deep Geek, Lost in Bronx, and Klaatu talk about exercise.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Information Underground on Hacker Public Radio. I have today with me Lawson Bronx.
Hello, everyone.
And I have Klaatu.
Hi, everyone.
So today I want to talk about something that happened to me a few years ago, 3 years ago, actually. After going through a bit of a midlife crisis, being an old man that I am, dealt with it by taking up weightlifting. My wife told me that that was much better than young girls in sports cars. And it was an interesting thing because as I hit that midlife crisis age and I began feeling really old and, you know, I logically figured out that I should get into working out, and I ran out and I bought dumbbells and I began doing all this weightlifting stuff 3 times a week, and everything still works. I kept getting stronger and stronger and bigger and bigger. I didn't get slim, though. The fat is stubborn and sticks around, but I got a cap shoulder and a V-taper. But more importantly is I felt a heck of a lot better about myself.
You know, I have to say that maybe it's an age thing, because when you told me you were starting to get into this, I had just started working out myself, not with weights, but I'd started exercising. And I'm 54 years old now, and I, you know, it just, at some point I look and I see, you know, I'm not getting any better. You know, I'm only getting worse. And I'm putting on weight when I never used to. My lifestyle isn't any different, but now I'm putting on weight. And I started using, we have a stationary bike. I started using that. And later I started doing sit-ups and push-ups. However, in the last, 4 or 5 months, I had to lay off. I have a shoulder injury, an old one, and it started flaring up. If I'm going to be perfectly frank, I used it as an excuse to stop altogether. So it's still something on my mind, and I got to get back to it. But I lost 35 pounds from the time I started.
My weight dropped initially, then went back to where it was. But my body composition was completely different. My eldest niece says I'm the best looking old guy she ever met, which is a fantastically flattering thing for me to hear. You know, it's as far as the weight is concerned. A lot of this has to do with the natural ebb and flow of testosterone, you know, over life. This is definitely a bit of a young man's game, but we still reap fantastic health benefits from it. Statistically, people who continue weight resistance training have lower chances of cancer, lower chances of heart disease, lower chances of type 2 diabetes. Doesn't hurt to be the best looking guy in your age group amongst your friends either. A great shot for the ego.
I have to say that I'm not entirely certain that the exercise was very responsible for my weight loss. I believe it was mostly diet. I did change my diet. I started eating fewer carbs and a lot more protein. And I was pretty militant about it for a while, and I did see a lot of loss. It did plateau. It did plateau out. I got to about 170, like between 175 and 179, and I just couldn't drop anymore. And I figured, well, I probably need to do more cardio exercises. And that's when I hurt myself. I have not been, unlike you, I have not been working with weights, and I have not seen much in the way of muscle gain. So I look better because I lost fat, but I don't look better because I have better musculature. I have to say that the benefits were amazing. You do feel it. As soon as I started losing the weight, I started feeling so much better. And it's so much nicer to to like bend over and not only because the gut's in the way and it causes problems, just to feel better. Like even just bending over to pick something up used to knock me out. You know, I'd get all, you know, I'd start breathing heavy. My heart would be pounding, just that effort alone. And, you know, hitting the bike every day. And I started very, very, very low. I started with just a couple minutes a day. The health benefits are, well, I won't say immediate, but you begin to see it really pretty quickly. You start seeing it pretty quickly.
You know, I like the way you talk about being able to do more, because I happen to have a very physical job. I'm a butcher, and all the meat comes into the shop in 60 to 80 pound boxes. And so I begin doing all this barbell, this dumbbell guy stuff. And inside of 3 months, I became the truck breakdown guy. And I'm like picking up 60 pound boxes. It feels like a feather. I just throw them into the right place.
See, that's amazing to me. I could never do that. At least not now.
You want to know what else is funny about it? Is also in the same time frame, I used to give my lady bear hugs, and I don't do that anymore. And the reason why I stopped is because the last time I did, I cracked two of her ribs.
Oh my God.
It is totally hysterical. And but I mean, you know, one thing is that I want to touch upon the way training has changed, not so much the training itself, but, you know, because we see on TV the health models, you know, advertising the protein powders and the exercise equipment and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And all those guys are enhanced. You know what I mean by enhanced?
Do you mean like steroids? Or
yeah, they're all on different amounts of steroids. And you guys know me. You guys know I love to read and research and stuff. And pretty much the last natural guy was a movie actor, became a movie actor named Steve Reeves.
Yeah, that's going back some time.
Yeah, he was the last
the old
guy.
Tarzan.
No, he was actually Hercules.
Yeah, he was Hercules in those Italian sword and sandal movies. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, interestingly enough, the other actors were jealous of his physique, and he was asked to shrink for the sake of the movie.
See, that makes no sense. He's the star. Wouldn't you want Hercules to be the biggest guy on the screen?
Well, he was still the biggest guy on the screen. He was still the biggest guy on the screen, but people were like dwarfed by him.
So Deep Geek, can you describe to us at least briefly like what your routine does consist of then?
Sure. The latest incarnation involves twice weekly. I work out with I do a bunch of exercises. I start with a dip station, you know, and I do 10 reps there, and then I do sit-ups, push-ups, calf lifts, squats, Kegels. Then I have the hand grippers. Then I go into curls, overhead tricep extensions, lifting up the dumbbell from behind my back to the ceiling. And then I do a shoulder routine consisting of bent arm lateral raises, moving the elbow out to hit that what's called the deltoid. And then I do a overhead press with the dumbbell, and I finish up with it with a row, and I increase the weights for a second set and go down the road. And with the second set also, I begin using lead vests for the calisthenic portions.
Wow. Okay. And how long does that take you?
Wow.
Are we talking about like an hour of workout every twice a week or
we're
more?
Talking about 40 minutes.
Okay.
All right. And I do a 45 minute walk on a daily basis. And you know, when I was experimenting a couple of years ago, I was also trying to see which I liked better, because there's another style of working out where you go for like 100 reps on an exercise. And I was trying 90-minute workout sessions with the weights. I just couldn't. It just did not work for me.
So I'm curious, psychologically, what was the impetus? I know you said a midlife crisis, but like, do you remember like what made you think, oh, working out is going to be the way that I, fulfill myself? And then retrospectively, what do you think you've gained from all this, like psychologically speaking?
How did I get to
the question I'd like to ask on this? It's closely related to Klaatu, so maybe you can couch it in these terms. I'd like to know what it's done for your self-esteem.
Well, it's changed the way I feel the confidence I feel just day in and day out. And it's not just a matter of compliments, whether they're verbalized or whether they're in eye contact. People treat you differently. You can feel people respecting you more as you deal with people on a day in and a day out basis. You have a mental clarity from it all. You know, things just, I don't know if saying it, you come into it stress relieved or anything, but you just handle your thinking, just proceeds with much more clarity, and things just don't get under your skin because you have a confidence level that just is just fantastic. I don't know how I came to the conclusion that I was going to get into health and exercise, unless it was just figuring some kind of thought that I thought I could turn the clock back somehow or be the best I could at my age, something along those lines. I love the way people talk to me now. I can't tell you. Not to mention, sometimes I catch people looking at me, which is wonderful.
Before you went into this, would you say that your self-esteem had some motivation, that provided some motivation for the whole thing? Did you feel that, well, I'll feel better about myself if I do this?
Yeah, I had that feeling. I had the feeling I would feel better about myself. I also had the feeling that I could arrest some of the worst effects of aging. Being, like you said, the weight, the stamina issues, finding out all the other health benefits later was just icing on the cake for me.
One thing, we were talking quite a while ago about this, about a year ago, I think. You made one comment that stuck with me and provided real motivation for me during my workout time. And that's when you said something to the effect that Jack LaLanne and George Burns lived to be about the same age.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of them was decrepit and the guy was essentially an invalid for the last 20 years of his life. The other one, Jack LaLanne, got sick a week before he died. Up until then, that guy, like a year or two before he died, he was still doing all these physical fitness stunts, like swimming, you know, all these miles and pulling boats with his teeth and all this ridiculous stuff. The guy was in amazing shape right up until the time he died, whereas the other one was sick for a long time. Yes, they both lived almost the same age or just about the same age, but one was in really good health for most of that time. And that really stuck with me.
Yeah, if it doesn't add years to your life, it adds full years to your life, years where you get to stay active. Jack LaLanne is, of course, a tremendous role model. He was a trailblazer in so many ways. I mean,
yeah, his Wikipedia article is actually really interesting. It's definitely worth checking out. The guy had an amazing life, and he was almost superhuman. I mean, you read about some of the feats that he did, and they're just astounding. They're just astounding.
Well, what was the one he did for his birthday? I think it was his 50th birthday, and he pulled 50 celebrities
in a boat or something. Yeah, and he swam like 10 miles. It was 10, ridiculous.
10, 10 miles.
Yeah.
50 celebrities and 50 rowboats chained together.
Yeah, and it was crazy. And he pulled a similar stunt for like his 75th birthday or something like that. It was crazy.
But, you know, and there's all the things that he did, like the first health guru on TV, the first exercise machines, the first home exercise machines he invented. The home juicing machine was first done by him.
He was a trailblazer. And plus, he did an awful lot of motivational speaking. He almost, you know, he was a trailblazer, at least in the Hollywood circle, for all of that sort of stuff. You know, standing up saying, this is what works for me and it could work for you type of thing.
So I guess if I can be the skeptic for a moment about this whole health scene.
Sure.
Like, for someone who wants to try out weightlifting but does not want to invest in three different weight machines and five different sets of dumbbells, and like, is it possible to flirt with this rather than to like dive in head first and still reap its benefits? Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. And part of it will be wanting to know what benefits you want. Let's say that if you really want to have more endurance, you could go to, I don't know what the equivalent in the country you're in now is, but you could go to like the Walmart, get a 20-pound weighted vest and begin walking in that and build leg muscles that way. You just buy one piece of equipment at a time. You can buy just a 10-pound dumbbell and fool around with it, you know, and the dumbbell stuff, you don't even have to buy new. Most people have wanted to get rid of them in garage sales at some point. And
that's true, yeah.
I got some of my stuff, at garage sale, some of the more weirder things, actually, you know, heavy kettlebells and stuff. I don't have any home machines. I like the dumbbells because they fit under the bed when they're not being used.
Where do you work out in the house? Do you work out, like, in the bedroom or outside? Or
I work out in the bedroom. I keep a detailed a spreadsheet database on every workout. I have 3 years of workouts going back on the database.
That actually sounds pretty satisfying, because then you can actually track, like, your progress. You know, like, oh, I was doing 10 kg here, and now I'm doing 25 kg here, or whatever.
See, now that's an entire industry right there, tracking your data. I mean, those fitness watch type, you know, those fitness things, I don't know what they call them, but the sports watches. And, you know, it's a watch, but it monitors your heartbeat and your perspiration and all that stuff. And one of the big selling points for that stuff is that it'll link up to your computer, either your Mac or your PC. They don't do an awful lot with Linux, though I'm sure there are easy ways to do it if you look. This kind of dovetails into one of the things I wanted to, like, mention or even ask you about is, like, there is so much snake oil surrounding this industry, you know, to the point where I've spoken to people who honestly believe that they cannot get into shape unless they join a gym. But they honestly believe it because, you know, it's like, well, it's the only way. You have experts there and you have the right machines and you have this and you have that. And it kind of astounds me that people feel they have to throw money at this, and a lot of it.
The gym thing, you know, that's good if you want to, you know, use those machines and go all the way. But when you begin reading, and by the way, Steve Reeves wrote a fantastic book on exercise. It's the best one I ever read, was Steve Reeves, Building the Classic Physique. Well worth picking up in the used market. It's a race with yourself. You don't need to go that route at all. The most expensive thing I got was the dip stand was $50. I had to put it apart. I just was looking at this thing because I have workout information going back to 2015. And I see in December 2015, I'm starting with a goal of two sets of eight dips. I'm doing three. And that's progressing through 2017, where I have set of 10, followed by a set of 10 with 10-pound lead weight vest. It doesn't have to be a ripoff. And you know what? GNC, you know, the supplement stores.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, vitamins have always been a ripoff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's astounding how much money they make off of that stuff.
A lot of people don't realize that, but if you need to have, let's say, name a vitamin a doctor might tell you might need to have.
Vitamin E,
C.
Maybe.
Okay, well, let's say E. Okay, if your doctor gives you a prescription for vitamin E, and your pharmacy fills that, that's a different thing than you walking into GNC and getting vitamin E, because the purity regulations about what goes through a pharmacy are that much different than the regulations for GNC. GNC is like the Wild West snake, or those places are like the Wild West snake oil salesman of the industry. It's just bizarre. It's even questionable how much protein you need while gaining muscle. You know, I mean,
oh yeah, all those protein shakes and powders and stuff, and all the supplements, all the workout supplements. And again, there are a lot of people that feel you absolutely have to have these things to see any progress.
Yeah, because TV tells you have to.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to. You just need to. You need a tape measure. You need a set of 15-pound dumbbells to start with, and maybe a 20-pound lead vest that's adjustable, so you can start with five. And that's basics of what you need to get started. That and the willingness to do the basic body weight exercises. You know, these things are interesting. What's interesting when I say the body weight exercises, I really mean what's called compound exercise. And I'm talking about the push-up, you know, the squat. These are single exercises that work out multiple muscles at once. At the level I'm talking about, that's what you need. You want to keep the time factor down, and you want to hit many things at once. The dumbbells are great, but they hit specific muscles, and you got to have a basis of some big movements that hit a lot of muscles, whether it be push-ups, presses, pull-ups, squats, something like that. And everybody who gets into this needs one. One of the older books I read was talking about these compound movements and comparing a cop and a double amputee. This is an interesting story.
Okay.
Because the cop needs to be able to, from time to time, manhandle people. So you're talking about leg strength, stuff like that. Gotta get into squats. The coach, when the guy in the wheelchair said, I gotta do something, I don't have my legs anymore, put him right on a dip stand and says, well, then you're going to be an arm guy. But I do love the dips because it's just my
Can
back.
You explain what dips are and what a dip stand is?
A dip stand is a thing on the ground that puts a pair of handles around your waist, your hips area. And then you bend your legs to take your feet off the ground. And then you move your body through space by going down and up, down and up, down and up. That's a dip. And that hits your triceps, your chest, and your upper and low, your upper back. And it's just tremendous. I was so happy I began doing the dips. It was like, it's like one of my favorite exercises now. Cause it's like, it has a gymnast kind of flavor to it that I really like. Well, I told you that I kicked this off because of a midlife crisis. Gymnasts are always young, you know. This makes me feel young that I can just hop on that thing and go up and down on it 10 times. It's just great for me.
So it sounds, from what you're saying, quite a couple of times that you've said things like this, it sounds like you really set your sights on something immediate and attainable, sort of like, I want to increase my weight from here to there, or how many repetitions I can do from 3 to 8, rather than sort of having a big sort of picture of, this is exactly what I want to look like in the end. Is that accurate, or am I imposing that on you?
No, that's absolutely accurate. And I didn't know why at the time. I mean, I want to set a realistic goal. A realistic goal, and keep at it without quitting ever. My lady says that this is the only fad I've ever not quit, to tell you the truth. Because if I'm not in this game, like I told Lost in Bronx, I admire Jack LaLanne. If I'm not in it for the rest of my life, I don't want to be in this game. I don't want to do this. So if you say, I want to look like X, well, Klaatu, how do you know that the genes in your body that you were given at birth are capable of getting there? And then the other question is, with or without drugs, right? So if you set performance goals and then increment them from time to time, that's something you can do forever.
That's interesting. That's very interesting, because there are a lot of people that believe and that are taught, because I've seen this from other, you know, supposed health guru type people, and many of them say you start with the end goal in mind. So they actually advocate that you pick a target and say, I want to be like that guy.
Yeah, I mean, you can't always be like that guy. You can take, I mean, unless you're someone's genetic twin, you can do the same workout, you can eat the same food. Your body is going to respond differently based on your genetics. One of the guys who does YouTube videos I listen to, his name is Jason Blaha. Kind of a little controversial, but I like his stuff. One day he answered the question, what are the top three things that make a bodybuilder look like a bodybuilder? And he said, number one, genetics. Number two, drugs. Number three, diet. And
wow.
Working out is not on that list. And it happens to be true. If you can get the right testosterone analogs, your body will grow. We're computer guys. We know about technology.
Yeah.
You're running a program. It's called adolescence, and you're running a program, and you're keeping it going forever. And it just grows, you know. And it's true. They've done medical tests, and they've had the test group that was just working out, and then the test group that was working out with steroids, and then they did another one where it was the test group without working out, and the another test group without working out with steroids. Guess what? They still gained 30 pounds of muscle. and the genetics, the individual results are amazing. I was watching one today, and I think I actually sent you the video of the guy talking about it, the YouTube link, where they found out that the variance as to muscle body size increase, like say your bicep,
okay,
can be as different as much as 60 times response to exercise. So one guy might get no size increase, another guy might have 60 times the size increase, you know, 60 millimeters instead of 1 millimeter, whatever it might be for the tape measure. And the strength, the actual amount, the capability of doing an exercise a certain weight and having your ability increase to do more weight at that exercise can go up to something like 250 times the response. So one person might be able to do 10 more pounds. The next day, another person can do radically different amounts. I found when I was starting my first year, every week I was going up in weight. And then a year into it, it was like hitting a brick wall. You know, now it's like every month, maybe I add 2 reps to my highest weight. That's just the nature. This is the only sport where your first 2 years of gains might be the same as your last 20 years of gains. If it's 20 pounds the first 2 years of muscle added to your frame, the next 20 years after that might be another 20 pounds.
And you say that largely dictated by genetics?
That's hugely dictated by genetics. You know, when you talk about, like you talk about the big IFBB pros, the Mr. Olympias of the world, those guys have top 2% of the population genetics, every single one of them. Every single one of them is on drugs. And to give you an idea of how much genetics, even just the way muscle hangs on a body frame because of its height, there was only one Mr. Olympia over 6 feet tall. Most of them are 5'10", you know, because that's a sweet spot for muscle on skeleton looks. And that one person was Arnold Schwarzenegger. So if you set yourself up to try to look like X, I just think of it. Lost in Bronx, just thinking about it is disheartening to me.
Well, in my case, my primary goal was to lose weight. That was my primary goal because I had gotten up to about 215. That was my highest. And for my height and body frame, that was pretty heavy because it was all around my middle. Most of it was right around my middle. And I wanted to lose as much of that as I could and get down to about like between 165 and 170. And that would keep me pretty thin. And I wasn't too concerned about gaining muscle mass or anything like that because I knew if I included any kind of exercise into all of that, I would get some gains with regards to muscles and stamina and all that other stuff. And a little bit of gain there was all I was really after. It was primarily the weight that I was considering. And most of that, I would say most of the weight, you know, gains that I got were all related to diet. They were not related to the exercise.
That's a big thing. I'm just three or four years into this. I'm just starting to actually find how to diet without counting calories and stuff. Because I'm up to I vary between 230 and 245 right now. And this morning I woke up at 224, so I'm just beginning to figure it out. The diet's the hard part.
It's a hard thing to keep up over time. Not so much because, oh, I want a cheat day, or oh, I really want that snack, or I really want this. It's the boredom of eating the same thing over and over. That's what I found to be a problem, you know, because when you start, you know, I mean, pretty much they say if you want to lose a lot of weight, just eat plain chicken breast and broccoli, and you'll lose a crazy amount of weight. But, you know, at the end of a month or 2 months of that, you want to kill yourself.
But that's why they're losing weight, is because if you ate nothing but chicken and broccoli, you wouldn't want to eat that much of it. I mean, it's true. There's one way to lose weight. And only one way, and that way is to eat less and exercise more. And you hear it from my mouth, and you go, "Yeah, I heard it before," but it's true. And these guys who say, "Oh, if you eat a carb only diet, or if you eat a protein only diet, you'll lose weight." Every single one of those programs, when they put the people doing it into a lab, and measured the food, they would eat less calories. And the only thing, the working hypothesis now is that variety of food stimulates more eating, you know, which is a lot like any appetite, like sex, you know, you get more different variety of stimulus, the more you want it, you know,
but
and
I
that's
mean,
what it looks like.
That's never been a secret, right? Doctors have been saying if you want to lose weight,
eat right and exercise.
They've been saying it for the last 150 years. They've been saying this.
Saying it.
And yet it's still a mystery, right? It's still a mystery to most people.
Yeah, because most people have some weird psychological block to just doing this stuff. I mean, I needed to be halfway between birth and death to get off my butt.
I think the matter becomes confused because like you see all these reports of how many calories does this food type have, and people kind of we all think that calorie is something that you can sort of put on a scale and weigh and get an exact, oh, this piece of, you know, this food has X number of calories. And calories is a measurement of potential energy. It's not something that you can actually definitively say this has X number of calories. And I pity people sort of who try to count calories, because it's like you're just counting a number that someone has put on a package. It's like you kind of have to be more in tune with your body, I think, and sort of kind of know what you know what's too much versus what's not enough. And I know that's difficult for some people, but I don't think that the calorie counting really helps in any regard.
I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. I mean, you know, you can have what, like 300 calories on your plate, and it can be composed of heavy like proteins and complex carbohydrates and all this other stuff, or it can be, you know, like one slice of pie, and you can say, well, one is better than the other because you're getting, you know, the only reason that like all of the other food that may add up to the same amount of calories is better for you is because you're getting more for that amount of energy that's going with there. And that's assuming, as Klaatu has pointed out, that's assuming any of that is even close to accurate. If you're getting all the proteins and the complex carbs, you're getting, in theory anyway, you're getting a lot of nutrition with that as well, and all of the other building blocks that your body requires, as opposed to the slice of pie where you're not really getting anything for all of that energy that you're taking in. And the idea, of course, is that the excess energy gets stored as fat. But, it, you know, of course, it's nowhere near that simple, and people want simple answers. I think in many ways, I mean, this starts to get into a much more complicated subject, as these types of things do. People who really, really start getting into this begin to, they almost evangelize, and it becomes almost like another religion in their lives, and they begin to complicate the thing far more than it really needs to be. And so they actually end up doing more harm than good for other people because they make the thing seem extremely unpalatable. You know, they make exercise and they make dieting seem really unpalatable, not because people are necessarily unwilling to do the work, but because it seems so complicated and so hard. It's, you know, you don't want to get involved in a thing you don't even understand.
About the calories, I think the only thing counting calories on packages is good for is to try it from time to time to identify things, foods that are more high in calories than you imagine. I think that's the only real use for it. I find regulating the number of meals I eat per day is much more significant for me personally. But when I was looking at calories on packages, all of a sudden I would be like, this has X calories? And I'd be like, what? And the other thing is what you said about the piece of pie, Lost in Bronx, is I find that first thing in the morning, you know what? I want eggs. I want hot peppers on my eggs. When I get to 10 p.m. at night, that's when I want the cookie. You see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Another thing, like for me, I lost the most weight by cutting out carbs, and those are easy carbs, like candies, most like breads and most desserts, actually. I cut most of those out. And as anybody who gets into this, especially, you know, dieting, the weight loss, if you really get into it, the weight loss early on is very impressive, right? You become very, you know, very impressed. And it's what they call water weight. And it's not that you're actually losing water from your body, but it has to do with the way the fat molecules are combined in your body so that when they break up, you know, when it starts to break down in your body, you're losing a great deal of fluid from your body that's associated with the fat, but it has to do with the way the fat molecules are bound up inside. That's what you lose early on, and it's very heartening. It's actually very heartening because you do lose a lot of weight, and it is fat. It isn't just water. Right. People that dismiss that and say, oh, it's just water weight. It isn't just water weight. It is fat that you're losing.
Yeah.
But it only goes so far. And then you do hit a plateau. Right. Or at least I did. And many other people seem to. And it's probably has to do with the fact that I continued to do the same thing and didn't change it. You know, and as a result, I needed to start mixing it up and start changing things.
Well, when your body has so much bone and so much muscle and so much fat in it, and you lose weight, the amount of food your body needs actually goes down again to a different point. Do you think, because you said you don't like to change things, do you think maybe because if you lost 20 pounds, you should have then begun readjusting and eating even less than that?
I had it in my head that I probably should have started doing more cardio workout. Yes, I used the bike, but I had it in my head that I should be doing more with the bike. You know, I should be spending more time on this. Well, one of my problems is committing that much time to it. A lot of people have that as a problem as well. The fact that they don't have a lot of time, or they have this perception in their head that they don't have a lot of time. Well, of course, we all have time to do the things that we think are important because we place them, that we give them a very high priority. The problem isn't that you don't have the time. The problem is that working out is not a high priority. For me, it was a priority issue. Do I want to do more cardio workouts to essentially burn more energy, burn more calories, and not take in more? You know what I'm saying? So that there'll be a deficit there, that I'll be burning more than I'm actually taking in. And that was probably where I went wrong. I'm not certain, but that's how I always felt.
You know I am not going to do more than an hour of cardio. I know it. I do not want to spend more than an hour working out in one workout. And you know, one kind of workout, I should say. You know, actually, when I do a full workout, let's see, 45 minutes of one, 40, about 40. Yeah, it's usually about 90 minutes altogether, and there's maybe 10 minutes in between. That's it. But you know, what you said about priority is very true because I have, you know, the family situation I'm in, and I'm helping my lady take care of her two elderly parents and her, you know, brother who had a stroke, and there's a lot of work involved in that. And then I have the 6 day a week job on top of it. And my solution when I got into this was, you know what? I'm going to kill myself at work and kill myself when I get to my in-laws. I'm going to wake up at 4 a.m. and get my workout in for me. That was my solution to that. There you have an answer to what you said about priority, Austin Bronx.
For me, I worked out every day. But I didn't work out for very long. So it was like 10, 15 minutes every single day. I don't know, you know, again, it's a topic that can go on forever and never have an answer, primarily because of what you say. Everybody is different and they're going to find their own equilibrium. The one thing I'd like to emphasize to anybody who's thinking along these lines that worked for me is I started off so simple, right? So ridiculously simple and slow, right? And that's how I was able to make progress. I started with 2 minutes. I gave myself to do 2 minutes on the bike a day because I wasn't sure I could do more consistently. I knew I could do it once. I could probably do it, you know, for a long, long time once. But would I get back on the bike the next day?
Yeah.
That was the problem. So to mitigate that, I started off with 2 minutes because I knew I could take 2 minutes out next day and do it. And I built that up to going up to 15 minutes a day. I wasn't sweating it. It was not a big deal. And the only way that worked for me is by taking it slow and then very, very slowly, incrementally making improvements and changes. And I think that's the key to anybody's successful workout.
Yeah, start so slow, people laugh at you. I had a problem when I started because I was trying to do a full body workout 3 days a week. Every other day, you know, so it's 3 or 4 days a week. And then I would hurt myself. Twice a week is just fine. And like I said, I'm in it for a lifelong endeavor. So if I don't gain as fast as I want to in the muscle department, I have all the time in the world. Well, Lost in Bronx, I think you've ended up co-hosting the show with me. I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, you and I are the old guys here. Clatu's perspective as a younger
child.
Man. Yeah.
No, well, no, I work out as well. I should point out. Yeah, I get up at 4:30 for work every morning anyway. So for the first half hour, I work out just with some free weights, just a set of dumbbells that I got for Christmas last year or the year before. And yeah, it's really short workouts. It's not, I don't have any actual goals. I just know that I should be more active because I'm a computer guy and I'm not active. So that's what I do. Audiobooks have been a huge help because that's a great excuse to make yourself, you know, to give yourself permission to spend a half an hour of your very valuable time on working out. You know, I always sneak in a chapter while I'm working out. So it's, yeah, it's, I think it's important and I agree with everything you guys have said. So, yeah, I think people should work out even if it's just a little bit, just because it is, the human body is, it's a machine and it's got to be kept up in maintenance and it's just a good idea and it's not hard to get into.
Excellent. I think we can close it down on that note. What do you say, guys?
Sounds good. Thanks,
Sounds
everybody.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.